Good evening, people at Green Acres. It's good to be back here with you, and I hope that you are all still doing well, and I know that God has truly been working on my heart and blessing me, and certainly providing for my needs. And so earlier this week, I was praying about what I should be preaching about here today, and God led me to this passage, John 14, verses 1 through 6. And so this afternoon I'll be speaking about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. But before we get into the message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Lord, I do thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, I do thank you for these dear folks at Green Acres. Lord, I do pray that you would be with them, guiding, directing them. Lord, I pray that you'd be taking care of them. Lord, helping them through the difficult the times of the day, Lord, the pain, the loneliness, Lord, whatever they might be facing, Lord, I pray that you'd be encouraging them and strengthening them. Lord, I pray that you would be with us at this time. Lord, give me the words to speak. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and that your message would come across. Lord, I pray that you'd be working in our hearts this afternoon. And Lord, I pray that you just be revealing to us what you'd have to show us from your word. Lord, do thank you again for what you've done and what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, looking at John 14, verses 1 through 6. So, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So here the first point, Jesus is the way that leads to life. And we see in verse 4, it says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And then Thomas says, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Thomas was a disciple of Jesus Christ, as we all know. And he had spent, at this point, 3.5 years with Jesus, speaking to him, under his teaching, ministering to others with him. So he would have been considered a close friend of Jesus. And yet, he didn't understand the way, or he didn't know the way that Jesus was talking about. And that is because Jesus was not talking about a physical way as Thomas was talking about. Verse 4 says, and whither I go, ye know. And this is talking about when Jesus was going to die and was going to return to his Father. And it says, and the way ye know. So, and the way to get to where he was going, the disciples knew. But Thomas comes at this from a purely physical point of view. He says, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Thomas didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And many times, we as Christians don't know exactly what the Lord's talking about, because we look at it from a physical perspective and not from the spiritual perspective that God wants us to be looking at it from. And if you will, we'll be going to John 10, verse 27 and 28. So looking at Jesus as the way that leads to life. So verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So we're talking about the sheep, which is the Christians. They know Jesus' voice, and they follow him. And so we see that the only way to follow is if someone is leading. And Jesus is the one that leads us in the way. And when we are in the way, when we are following, Jesus gives life. And this is not to say that you have to be serving God before you can be saved, but it's that in getting saved, in accepting Jesus as your Savior, you are following him. And there you receive eternal life. And we have a promise here, and it says, "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Meaning that once we are saved, we will never be, we will never die spiritually. We will never be cast into hell. And nobody can make us unsaved. Nobody can take away that salvation from us. So with the promise that Jesus will lead us, with the promise that he will give unto us salvation, we receive the promise that he will keep us saved. We have the assurance of salvation. And I'm just going to quick look at a couple verses with you. John 3:16, looking at some of the, well, a very brief summary of the gospel. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God, Jesus, loved the world so much that God sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us, bearing our sins on the cross, paying for our sin debt, that we would not have to perish, that we would not have to die a spiritual death, but that we would have eternal spiritual life. And then if you'll look at Romans 6:23 with me. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So the gift of God, salvation, is eternal life, and it is a gift. It is given out of love, and it must be received. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So to receive God's gift, we must ask for it. We must call upon him, believing that he, as the Son of God, as God in the flesh, he lived a perfect and sinless life. He died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. And then he was buried, and he rose again, proving that he had victory over sin, death, hell, and Satan. Proving he had victory over everything that holds us in bondage. And we must receive that gift humbly, and it must be from the heart. And as the verse says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," so it's calling upon, believing in what he has done, and believing in what he has promised to give us. And that's leading into the second point. Jesus is the truth that sets free. So, John 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth." So Jesus is the truth. And I'll be turning to John 8, 31.
John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So Jesus is the truth that sets free. What does he set us free from? Read verse 32 says, it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But where do we need freedom? What do we need freedom from? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 33 says, "They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So looking at verse 34 again, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." So it is sin that each and every one of us are in bondage to. Before someone gets saved, they are in bondage completely to sin. Once a person gets saved, they receive liberation. They receive freedom from that sin, from the penalty of sin, from the eternal consequences of sin. And they receive the opportunity to be able to receive the forgiveness of God. But that does not mean that sin cannot still make us in bondage. When we sin, until we get right, we are hindered, we are enslaved in that sin because we can't do anything until we get right with God, until we again claim his promise of freedom, until we again agree with him about our sin, confessing it to him, and then he will forgive us, and that sets us once again completely free from our sin. And then let's turn to 1 John 4:16 through 18. 1 John 4:16 through 18. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So this verse says, and verse 18 says, "Because fear hath torment." Fear also makes us in bondage. Whether it be a fear of the dark, if we're afraid of the dark, we don't really want to go outside. And when it's dark out, when it's night, or maybe not even into a dark bedroom, someone who has fear of the dark is kept from going into the dark. So they are enslaved to where it's light, in a sense. And it's the same thing with fear in all aspects, whether it be a fear of knowing for sure that we are saved, or a fear that we are not forgiven, or a fear of acceptance with other people. Whatever the fear may be, it puts us into a position of enslavement and servitude. But verse 18 at the beginning says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." And we just read in verse 16 that God is love. And Jesus says, God, Jesus is love. So the truth about Jesus sets us free from sin. And the truth that Jesus is love, and if we accept his love, His love will set us free from fear, the bondage of fear. And then back in John 14, back in John 14, verse 6, Jesus is the life that gives life. So Jesus is the life that gives life. And verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll turn with me to John 1, for John 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus is life, and he is the one that gives unto all men life. He was the one that created us, as we see just a little bit earlier in the chapter. He is the creator of all things. So physical life is a creation of God, of Jesus. But we also see that spiritual life comes through Jesus and only comes through Jesus. Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So, the word quickened means made alive, to give life to. So quicken, we could rephrase this verse to say, and you hath he made alive, you hath he gave life, who were dead. So before a person gets saved, they are dead in their sins, they are trapped, and they cannot experience spiritual life that comes from God because they are dead to it. But when Jesus saves us, he gives us spiritual life. He makes us alive once again. And this is a spiritual life. Galatians, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. This is Paul speaking, and he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul was saying that he was dead with Christ, crucified. He had died with Christ on the cross, but he lived. And yet, it was not him that was living. It was not his flesh that was alive, but it was Christ that lived in him, giving him spiritual life. And it says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it is that spiritual life that God gives us that enables us to truly have life, to truly have purpose in life. If you'll turn with me to John 10, John 10, verse 10. John 10, 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, this is talking about Jesus, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus came to this earth to give each and every person life. Now, his gift is for all, but only those that receive it can possess it, can take advantage of it. It says that those that receive it, that they might have it more abundantly. So that they might have it plentifully, that they might have it richly, that they might have much of it. So abundant life. And there is only one way to have an abundant life. First and foremost, it is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And secondly, to have an abundant life, you must believe the truth that of God, of Jesus, because it is the truth of Jesus that reveals to us the promises of God, which shows us our position in Him and the privileges that we have in Him. In Christ, we have the privilege of coming before God's throne with our request, with our confessions. We can come before Him, and when we come before God, we have the promise that He will hear us and that He will answer us. Also, we have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of Jesus being with us. Matthew 28, in verse 20, it tells us that He will go with us unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus has promised to be with us. Jesus, when He left, He promised to send the Holy Ghost to us, that He might abide with us forever. And that is that same Holy Ghost that teaches us, instructs us, brings all things to our remembrance. So these are just some of the promises of God. But to learn of the promises of God, we must know the truth of God. And when we know the truth of God, it gives us life. It gives us abundant life. It gives us a satisfactory life. There is no satisfaction. There is no purpose in life outside of Jesus Christ and the life that He has for us. And we can find that life in living for Him, in serving Him. And I know there may be some of you, and I know there are many Christians in this world that are saved. They know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But are each and every one of us serving God in the way that He'd have us to be serving Him? Are each and every one of us believing the truths that we find in His Word? Are they delivering us from the fear that is in this world? Are they delivering us from sin? If you are not saved, if one of you are not saved, I plead with you to trust God, to look into His Word, asking Him to show you the truth that is in His Word. Jesus came to this earth. He gave everything for you. He died for you. And He offers you everything. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you life. He offers you blessings, riches. He offers you heaven. He offers you literally everything if you will accept His gift of forgiveness, which without you are damned to hellfire. So I plead with you, if you are not saved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, reconsider. But for those of you that know that you are saved, those of you that have believed in Jesus, are you still believing and trusting Jesus, His truth? Are you believing in it and allowing it to set you free from the fear that is in this world? And is it giving you a satisfactory, prosperous, profitable life? God wants you to have a prosperous, profitable, satisfactory, abundant life, even though you are at Green Acres assisted living. He wants you to have a life that is abundant and prosperous even there. So I ask of you this afternoon, will you trust God? Will you get to know Him so that He might give you that abundant life? Let's close with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, I do thank You for this opportunity to be able to share the truth of Your Word with these dear folks. And Lord, I pray that You would be working in their hearts, working in their lives. Lord, work in my life. Lord, that each and every one of us would be trusting You, believing in You, allowing You to Set us free from sin, from fear, from any bondage, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would be teaching us from your word, revealing to us the promises that are in your word, reveal to us the position that we have in you. And Lord, I do thank you for that position, that we are in you on the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, that we can come before the Father's throne with our request. Lord, I do thank you for your many promises. Lord, I thank you for this time that we've been able to look into your word. Lord, I do thank you once again for all that you've done and all that you will do in our hearts and lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.